Praise God. I sure could just continue praising God tonight. You know, He's a wonderful Savior. Saved my soul. Forgiven my sins. Loved me when there was nothing to love. Thank God for salvation in Christ. He is so real tonight. I do love Him for all that He's done in my life. And I know that we're all of the same heart here tonight. You're very welcome. If you're here for the first time, greet you warmly. In the name of Jesus. I tell you, there's no greater name to be welcomed in than the name of Jesus. I tell you, you wouldn't get a bunch like us together if it wasn't for Christ. We've only got one common bond, only one reason for being here. Jesus Christ. He's gathered us in, all from different backgrounds, different manners of living. I can assure you, outside of Christ, us bunch would not be sitting together with smiles on our faces, singing the same song, believing the same thing. Saints, you realize what a miracle this is. What a miracle that we're here by the grace and the mercy of God. Please turn with me to Genesis chapter 7. We're continuing with our series on the book of Genesis. You see, Genesis does have a great importance. We're dealing from Genesis chapter 1 all the way through to chapter 11. And we've repeatedly said that in these 11 chapters, you have the beginning of everything. Everything that flows through the Bible, Old and New Testament, it begins in Genesis. We have the first mention of sin, the first mention of redemption, the first mention of covenant, the first mention of the devil, the first mention that a virgin or a woman would give birth to a seed that would break the power of the serpent. All of this is in the early pages of Genesis. If Genesis is not true, then the New Testament is not true, because Jesus Christ did believe in a real Adam and Eve. Paul and Peter and the rest did talk about an actual man in Genesis called Adam who actually sinned. And we know in our culture, in our generation, that the book of Genesis is greatly under attack. If there's two things in Genesis greatly under attack, it's the creation of a man and a woman, singular, that were brought together and out of whom come all of mankind. That is the single greatest attack that evolutionists and that atheists attack. But there is a second truth in Genesis that is greatly under attack, and that is the flood. We have already dealt with the creation of man. You see, if you reject Genesis, Genesis 2, Genesis 3, if you reject that there is a God and that He created man supernaturally in a moment, that He formed man in His image, if you reject that, there is only one other option. That other option is what the evolutionist and the atheist has given us for just over 100 years. And we know that they created all those hooks and links, the pilt man. They get a jaw of a chimpanzee, a tooth of a monkey, or a tooth of a pig, and they say, there's the missing link. Everybody believes it. It gets put in the school textbooks. It's written about in PhDs. And 30 years later, they whisper, well, actually, it wasn't true. It was a pig's tooth and a chimpanzee's jaw. But let's move on. Here's another one. We've got Lucy. Well, we've already dealt with all that. But tonight, I want to deal with Noah's flood. My message, Noah's flood, reading from Genesis chapter 7 and verse 10. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, in the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, and every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh as God hath commanded them. And the Lord shut them in. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth. And the waters increased and bare upon the ark. And it was lifted up above the earth. And the waters prevailed and increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth. And all the high hills that were under the heaven were covered. Can I say that again? They were covered. What was covered? The highest hills in the entire world. That's what the Bible says. Verse 20. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered, and all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, and in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and the creeping things and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was upon, that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters returned from off the earth continually. And after the end of 150 days, the waters were abated. And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. And he sent forth a raven which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried from the earth. And also he sent forth a dove from him to see the water, to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her feet, and she returned unto him in the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand, and he took her, and he pulled her in unto himself in the ark. And he stayed yet another 7 days. And again he sent forth the dove out of the ark, and the dove came into him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth, and he stayed yet another 7 days, and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him any more. Travelled all the way over to the book of Acts, came down in the book of Acts upon that New Testament church. Verse 13, and it came to pass in the 600th and first year, in the first month, on the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth. And Noah removed the covering from the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. And in the second month, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, was the earth dried. And God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy son's wife with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee, of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons, and his son's wife with him, every beast, every creeping thing, every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth, after their kinds, went forth out of the ark. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast, and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savour. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Let's pray together. Amen. Father, we do thank you for your word, your truth. Lord God, what a remarkable thing we hold in our hands. The very history of the world, the history of the universe, the history of mankind, the history of your dealings with man, the history, Lord God, of Lucifer himself, Lord God, deceiving and tempting mankind. Lord God, I pray tonight, Lord God, we ask for the power of your Holy Spirit. Open our eyes and our ears. Lord God, I pray for such a revelation of the reality of your holiness, your righteousness, but your divine mercy, my God, and even destroying the world with the flood. We love you tonight. We bless you. We praise you. And we adore you in Jesus' name. Amen. I know I read quite a bit more than I usually do, but I think it is radically important to read the Word of God. We must know what the Word of God says. We need to hear what the Word of God says. And I can tell you, this is one of the most remarkable of stories that we have just read here in the Scriptures. The Bible is despised. It's rejected. People say this isn't literal truth. This didn't actually happen. It's only a fable. It's only a story. It doesn't matter if the flood didn't happen literally. It doesn't change the story about Christ's love. I want to tell you, if God did not destroy the world with the flood, then Jesus didn't die and rise again. You cannot separate it. Either Jonah did get swallowed with the whale, or he didn't. Either Christ did heal the sick and the lepers and the blind and those without limbs, or he didn't. Either you believe what the Bible says, or you reject it. Either your mind's going to be polluted by the education system of this hour, evolution, and all of this thinking, or you're going to believe God's word. It doesn't mix. It's one or the other. Amen. Let's come to our message tonight. Noah's flood. Can I ask you here something tonight as we go to the word of God? Can you explain to me tonight? Can I ask you to stop and think for a moment? Because I've got certain things that I want to bring to you, and I want you to explain to me. Because I assure you, the evolutionist can't, the atheist can't, the unbeliever can't. Can you tell me why in Chile, South America, 75 fossilized whales were found on top of a hill in the midst of a desert? 20 of them, now hear me, they were fossilized. 20 of them were absolutely intact. What does fossilization mean? It wasn't eaten. It didn't decay. It got frozen in time. 75 in South America, in Chile, on top of a hill. How did the whales get there to these very heights? Or maybe you can tell me how it is that in our world, in Siberia, which has constant below freezing temperatures, why is it that scientists and explorers have found fossilized tropical forests all across Siberia? Could you tell me? Or maybe further still, you can tell me why in Siberia there are hills which aren't actual hills. They are literally 250 to 350 high, and they're literally formed out of petrified word of a very ancient age. Or let me take you further. Can you explain to me, and I know you bunch can, but this is what we need to challenge this generation with. Why is there fossilized redwood trees that were 10 feet in diameter, and you can find them under the ice in the Arctic in the north, at the North Pole, and in Antarctica, at the South Pole? Why is it under those two great deepest frozen caps of our earth that you find this tree that only grew in hot temperatures? Why is that? Or maybe you can tell me why all of this fossilized wood, wherever you find it, mixed in with it, you find the remains, the bones, the fossilized bones of animals. I mean, warm-blooded animals like turtles, crocodiles, rhinoceroses, and a thousand other animals all mixed up with this petrified wood. This wood in the North Pole, the South Pole, it only would have grown in a very warm climate, yet we find it everywhere. Or maybe you can tell me why the tree experts in America who study the tree rings, they cut the tree down, and they can study if they find a petrified tree, they can tell you much about that tree. Why is it in the North America that suffers so much from freezing temperatures now? Why is it in the study of those tree rings, of those old ancient trees, that in studying it they said there was no snow, no frost, no freezing temperatures? Or why is it in Greenland that 10,000 feet through ice that they found pine cones? Can you begin to answer me? And since I could spend an hour giving you fact after fact after fact like this, I would love to, but we want to come to the scriptures. Maybe the scientists of our day, and it's scientists who are finding all this, it is scientists who have given us all these facts. They're looking at our world. It's not a preacher saying it. It is scientists saying, this is how things used to be in our world. Our world used to be radically different. The ocean was radically different. The earth was radically different. You see, scientists have concluded the world was not like it is presently. The entire globe had a similar temperature, whether it was the North Pole, South Pole, Siberia, America, it doesn't matter, even Ireland. Right across the world, they say when you look at the scientific evidence, it shows that the entire globe had the exact same temperature. These scientists estimate, looking at all that they have found, the petrified trees, all of these animals, everything that has been left over and is petrified for us, or is fossilized. What they actually say is the temperature never fell below 14 degrees Celsius or 57 degrees Fahrenheit. They actually say that the entire ocean, the sea, the water in around Ireland, it never dropped below 20 degrees Celsius or 68 degrees Fahrenheit. The ocean and our world was the same temperature. That means there was no storms, because you need diverse temperatures in order to have great storms. They are actually showing that our entire globe had the same temperature. You won't need to go to Spain for your holiday. The entire globe has that same similar climate. In fact, many of the experts said it was a bit like spring, summer all the time. There was no distinction in seasons. There was no diversity like that. All the evidence proves that there was a similarity from the North Pole to the South Pole. There were these forests growing in a tropical, beautiful, warm climate. There was no such thing as a glacier. It just was not there. All over our world, you'll find massive fossilized graveyards. Now listen to this. It's not that we find bones or skeletons or remains scattered everywhere. You don't. You actually, if you go to Siberia, you have mass graves of millions and billions of animals all in the same place. All of their remains are in the same place. Or if you go to China, it's the same. Or if you go to North America, you actually find in round our world these massive graves of fossils. You find millions and billions of animals have been carried. And the scientists say it was They were carried there by water. It was flooding that brought that about, that they've all been heaped up in the very same place. They've been gathered up and dumped in certain places in around our globe. The evidence is there. It is literally sitting there. Everything I've told you, it's just basic scientific information, but you never get told it, do you? You never actually hear that. Maybe it's the facts. The truth of reality will begin to sow questions in minds. You see, our ancient world wasn't a frozen globe. No, it wasn't. The scientists say it had a beautiful climate. The Sahara Desert, there were grand forests all over the Sahara Desert, but not today, I can assure you. The deserts have been encroaching on everything and around them. You see, these fossils are found in every part of the world. And these fossils reveal, it doesn't matter in what continent, all these fossils reveal they lived in the same climate and in the same era. You can actually go to South America, go to some of the highest peaks, mountain ranges in the South America, and you will find salt water lakes on the top of mountains. Literally salt water lakes. What are they doing there? In those saltwater lake, you'll find fossils everywhere. Some years ago, Candace and myself were in Texas. We were halfway across Texas. You get to Texas 600 miles this way. Texas is big. The only place you get 600 miles this way and keep going after that. Well, we were in the middle of Texas. We had miles, many hundreds of miles either side of us. We're out with a friend in a particular place just out where his relatives live. And as we're looking about, kicking things, big boulders, fossilized animals in those stones. Everywhere we look, big boulders everywhere. I said, do you see what's here? He said, yeah, that's nothing. They're everywhere. They're all over here. Everywhere we went. What is all of these fossils doing in the middle of Texas? Things, you'll find this all over the world, similar things. And yet, what does it mean? What does it mean that the scientific evidence, if you're honest, actually reveals that our world was radically different, and the world we live in is not the world that used to be? Something happened to move this world of ours from a perfect climate, perfectly temperatured, and you guys from Africa would just love it, I can assure you. Oh, that Ireland was held in such an environment, but it's not. Look at our world, the difference in it. Listen to what Peter says in the New Testament. He says in 2 Peter chapter 2 and 5, and the Lord spared not the old world, but he saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Peter, actually looking back to Genesis, he said there's an old world and there's a new world. He actually says that world before the flood in the days of Noah was called the old world. There's a world that actually doesn't exist anymore. Peter is saying it 2,000 years ago in reference to the book of Genesis and the chapters that we have just read. He said that was the old world, and because of sin, because of iniquity, because of ungodly man, God literally destroyed it. We've already looked in Genesis how God created a perfect world. He created everything absolutely perfect as he desired it, and it was for man to enjoy. But we actually see that because of man's sin, they destroyed this world of ours. You know, guys, you wouldn't be having rain all the time in Ireland. You'd have a beautiful Spanish sun. What done that? I tell you, the next time your mates are getting on about things, you just say, here, we wouldn't be having all the bad weather but for sin. That's the cause of it. Don't you blame God. Don't you blame Christians. It is sin that actually changed our world. Although the world was fallen, it actually come to a point where God had to actually judge sin. And that old world was spoken of by Peter. Now, when we come to Genesis, we read of Noah building this ark, God warned him and said, I am grieved to the heart with man. My heart is broken. Sin breaks the heart of God. God does feel sin. God knows what sin is. God sees the sin of every mind, every heart, every tongue. He isn't indifferent to sin. He takes note of it. He feels it. He doesn't want to judge man. But I tell you, he's a righteous and he's a holy God. He will deal with sin. He'll deal with every man's sin. You can't escape that. Unless you have an experience of Jesus Christ. Peter also said, he said that that old world was destroyed by a flood. That word flood in the New Testament is only used for Noah's flood. The word flood there, and this is the Greek word, it is actually cataclysmo. Cataclysmo, the word flood. Is cataclysmo. It's where we get our word catastrophe, our and all the associated words with a catastrophe. What is a catastrophe? It is a overwhelming disaster. It isn't a normal disaster. It is an overwhelming, unusual disaster. This same word is used 4 times. In the New Testament, every single time, it only refers to the flood. Not other disasters. Not about coming disasters in the end days. It's a unique event. A catastrophe is what the flood was. It's never used in the New Testament for anything else. And that's what Peter was saying. As he looked back to the days of Noah, that old world that was created of God was destroyed. And you know what the scientists, they're hoping about? Underground. They're looking at all the evidence. They see all the fossilization of the trees and of animals and even dinosaurs. And they're looking at all of this. And they don't realize how true Genesis is. They say, we don't believe in Genesis. Well, then you explain it to me. You explain to me why all your evidence lines up with the Bible. I want them to explain to me why everything this book says actually is true, and they're finding the evidence of it. They only started finding dinosaurs over 100 years ago. My Bible talks about dinosaurs. They only started to deny these things over 100 years ago. But my Bible was there in the hands of men thousands of years ago. Everything there finding, my Bible says it as clear as anything. But notice, to go from that old world to the new world, from a environment of judgment to a brand new world preserved by God and given to Noah, there had to be an ark. We read actually in Genesis chapter 6 and chapter 7, that God warned Noah and he called him to build that ark. You see, judgment's coming. And I want to tell you, judgment's coming to Limerick. The Bible says every city will stand in judgment before God. Every man, every woman, every nation. Judgment is coming. Do you know what? We better hear what God's saying. You better run from your sin. You better run from your old life. You better run to Jesus Christ. And I can assure you, as a church, we are in the building business here. We are building a place of refuge. We're saying, run for your life. There is coming a day of judgment. There is a holy God. If you want salvation, it's in Christ. He loves you. He died for you. He's made provision. The judgment isn't here yet, but it is coming. Oh, they'll laugh at it and say, I don't believe that. Fine. You'll be like those in the days of Noah, laughing at the building of the ark. Your salvation was before you. Your means of deliverance, your means of safety, and yet you laughed at it. They weren't laughing when the rain began to fall. It actually says that God gave the designs of the ark, and here it gives the measurements, the exact measurements of the ark. It measures it in cubits. Now, 1 cubit is 17.5 inches, okay? 1 cubit is 17.5 inches. It actually says that the ark was 300 cubits long. That means 438 feet in length. It says that it was 50 cubits wide and that it was 30 cubits high, which is 43 feet high. It gives the exact dimensions. It gives the design. It reveals what shape it was. And saints, there was enough room in that ark for whosoever would take refuge there. Those who are experts in these things, they say, if you imagine 500 railroad cars, if you can imagine 500 of them that would hold cattle or hold whatever, that is the space that was in the ark, more than enough room. On that ark you could have had 18,000 species of animals and at least 70, if not 80,000 different animals on that ark. No problem. There was room for all. There's plenty of room. Someone may say, do you actually believe it was a literal ark and that Noah went on there, that the flood came and that God saved him through an ark? Yes, absolutely. I believe everything the Bible says. And I tell you what, I don't cut my head off to do it. I believe there's evidence. I believe there's fact. I believe that the scientists who did denies creation, he's either deceived or he's not sincere. And many of them are not sincere. When they create these false missing links, someone's lying, someone's deceiving. You don't accidentally pick up a chimpanzee jaw and a pig tooth and say, well, they're 2 miles apart, but here's the missing link. We don't have the rest of the skeleton, but this is what it looked like. He was an ape man. That is deception. They are liars. They're deceiving you. And it's still in the textbooks in Limerick City, in the schools. Many of those diagrams, they've rejected them. Many of those missing links have said it's not true. But you know what? It's still in the textbooks in Limerick City. It's still in there. Now, who's the person believing in a fable? I believe the word of God. I know it was true. Who's believing the fable? Who's believing the little nursery story rhymes? Who's been taught a lie and is walking around believing a lie rather than the truth? Since we hold the truth and we've got to make men to know it. Do you realize that in ancient culture they've now discovered as many as 500 ancient stories about the ark, Noah, his family, the flood, and the worldwide destruction of the entire earth? As many as 500 utterly distinct stories in ancient cultures. Now notice this, they are on every continent of the world. Remember, our world's separated by language. It's separated by seas. And yet the Aborigines in Australia, or the ancient Hawaiian people, or the Cherokee Indians, or the ancient First Irish, or the old Saxon Germanic races, 5 of them, and many other peoples, the Babylonians, the Chinese, all of these different cultures, all have the same story about the ark, the flood, and the destruction of mankind. All of them have the exact same story. Saints, this is amazing. When you think 500 stories, all in different parts of the globe, in different languages, surrounded by their own unique religions, and yet they have the same story about the flood and God's judgment upon mankind. That is not accidental. There's an old ancient Chinese story about this. They said a man called Fubi, he and his wife, his 3 sons, their wives actually escaped through a great flood where the entire world was destroyed, and these families repopulated the world. Or what about the old Hawaiian story? It says that a man, Nui, actually was warned about a coming judgment, built an ark, and it's the same story. Or what about the Aborigines in Australia? It's the exact same story. You'll find more than 500 of these stories right across the world. The number of legends is amazing, and although there's distinction, they are all very similar. You'll actually find it in the ancient stories of Assyria, Babylon, Asia Minor, China, India, Persia, as I said, amongst the Cherokee Indians. Even many of those, the Cherokee Indians of America, in their ancient story, thousands of years ago, even before Christ, they actually talk about a raven and a dove being sent out of a boat. to see if the water has receded. You've got all of this information. And you know what? We have the actual original story in our hand. Saints, who is believing a lie and who is believing the truth? We need an absolute confidence in the Bible. Until just over 100 years ago, all of the secular historians spoke about the Great Flood. The most ancient writings and histories from Ireland, you know where it begins? At the flood. It says, in the days after the deluge, the first inhabitants come to Ireland. You know what was happening? The glacier was receding off Ireland. That was 1500 BC. Oh no, Irish people were here. 12,000 BC. No, they weren't. No, they weren't. Adam wasn't created then. There was a glacier over most of Ireland. When we come back to the Bible, we have the original, clear, accurate, preserved story about Noah, the ark, and the flood that's given to us. In chapter 7 verse 6, we actually read that Noah was 600 years old when the flood came and when he entered into the flood. In verse 16, we're actually told that they were in the ark for 7 days. When God was preparing to bring the flood, they'd finished it 120 years building that ark. God then says, go into the ark with all the animals. When they entered into the ark, they are in there for a further 7 years, or 7 days, before God shuts the door. Think about it. They have been warning for 120 years. Now 7 days they're sitting there. They're inside. The flood is about to come. God is about to do everything that he says. Do you realize it took an act of faith to do that? Can you imagine putting all the animals in the ark? Can you imagine saying goodbye to your loved ones, your friends, people you grew up with, saying, I'll never see you again. I'll never see your face. I'm going in that ark. I'm coming out in another world, a new world. Can you imagine the laughing, the smirking, saying he's gone nuts, he's gone mad. What happened to him? He used to be like us, drinking, laughing, joking. What's gone wrong with him? You see, it took a great act of faith to go into that ark. There's no rain, there's no clouds. Do you know what the old world was like? There was a vast covering of water in round the globe. It is beautiful. It's never rained. There's no storms. There's no changing in the climate. Nobody has ever seen rain. It says a mist came up and watered the entire earth. This is the world they're leaving. Everything is just fine. It's been like this for over 1,000 years, and you're saying it's going to be destroyed. Who are you? You and your family are telling us all of this is going to be destroyed. It looks fine to me. Can you imagine them getting in the ark and the wives who had married Noah's sons, can you imagine them? What if their parents are still alive? And they must have been. What about their brothers and their sisters? And they're pulled between two worlds. Do I get on that ark with my husband and with my father-in-law and my mother-in-law? Do I believe this, or do I stay with my family? You see, they're caught between two worlds, but at this point it's an act of faith. There's no rain, there's no judgment. The multitudes, maybe millions of people are out there, millions laughing. I mean, surely the majority can't be wrong, can they? Look at the millions, they're laughing, they're joking, they're saying, we're marrying. Hey, are you going to stick around, be there for my wedding in a month's time? I won't make it. I'm gone. Yeah. You won't be having that wedding. They laughed at you. We'll keep the invitation. You know what? You'll come out of that ark in a week or two. How long are you going to stay in there? Yeah. I mean, the smell is going to drive you out before long. All those animals in there. You won't be in there very long. It took a great act of faith to go in there. 7 days, every day. They don't know when it's going to happen. They're sitting in that ark in the darkness of it. 7 days. On the seventh day, God shuts the door. Man can't shut the door. Only God can. Do you realize there's a day when God is going to shut the door in this city of Limerick? Do you realize there's a last day, a last opportunity? We're preaching. We're reaching out. We're telling men and women. God is saying, I love you. I died for you. I bled for you. I'll forgive you. I've made provision in my son. What more can I do? I sent my son to die for you. People are looking for a sign. Well, if God does a miracle, then I'll believe. No, you won't. They won't believe. Amen. I've seen people who've seen miracles. Well, if God does this, then I'll believe. It happens. They don't believe. They don't believe. You know why? They love their sin. They love their sin. That's what the problem is. They got into that ark. Old Archbishop Usher, who was from Dublin many years ago, he added up all the ages of everyone in the Bible, and he laid out that it was about 4004 BC that God started everything, creating Adam. That's when time begins, 4004 BC. That means the flood came 2348 BC. That is when the actual flood came. Man has been around for 1,665 years. The generations have been going on. But God brings it to a last day. This world is finished. And I tell you, there's going to be a last day in this city, in this world of ours. There'll be a last opportunity. And God will shut the door. And the saints will be on the inside of Christ. And the sinner will be on the outside of Christ. Today, anybody can come and be saved. But there's a day coming when it comes to an end. God won't forgive them. God won't have mercy then. He will judge men in righteousness. There were people outside that ark saying, I changed my mind too late. Yes. And as the rain began to come, their laughter turned into crying. Can you imagine it? Can you imagine the torment of that? I had a friend, a preacher, went to America, and they'd built a replica of the boat, a literal replica. And he said, you literally got in it, and the door closed, everything's dark. You hear the animals, you smell the animals. All this was created. And he said he sat there. And the whole atmosphere of it, the door shuts and all you can hear outside is the laugh and the joke. And you hear them laughing. Look at the foolish people laughing, joking about Noah. And he said as he sat in that boat in darkness with the smell of the animals, he said all of a sudden you could hear the rain falling. And then floods began to come. And he said all the laughter stopped. And all of a sudden you start to hear screaming. And you start to hear scraping on the side of the boat. And as the rain came down, he said this boat he was sitting in, he's in darkness. And the boat began to move. And you hear the crying out, one more opportunity. One more opportunity. Open the door. Have mercy on me. I'm sorry. Now I believe. All of this. And then he said, suddenly it all went quiet outside. And the boat leveled off. And he said, you're left there in that atmosphere. Saints, what must that have been like? Do you realize we will see such a day? We will, every man, every woman. But either they're going to be on the inside or the outside. Either it's too late or you are in Jesus Christ. You see, there on that boat, and it actually says in verse 11 that it gives the date. It actually gives the date of Noah's life and when it happened in the second month on the 17th day of the month. Do you realize in Genesis it gives the dates of everything? It gives an accurate record. It says right on this date the flood happened, the waters began to fall, and he traces the whole history of all of this happening. Do you realize in the old world there was actually 12 months? This is how they operated. It's not a new thing. We think we're technical. They operated on 12 months. Every month was 30 days. Something happened in that catastrophe that changed our days. Do you realize everything aligned in that old world? And they counted those 30 days. And here's Noah and his children. They're able to count the days. How did this flood happen? How could it have happened? It never rained before. Do you know what it actually says? It says there, where all this water came from, where all the fountains of the great deep were broken up under the seabed, under the earth. It was literally open up, and all this water that was held there all of a sudden began to break up. I don't know what initiated it, whether it was the word of God, but he said, this is the day it all begins, and all the great plates of the earth began to open up. Do you realize during the flood, the continents were pulled apart? Some atheistic evolutionist scientist say it took millions of years, billions, for the continents to part. Oh no. We are literally seeing the entire earth begin to open up. The plates began to move. This was a catastrophe. This was the worst disaster this earth has ever seen in all of its history. If you want to know why we see a beautiful world and then we see our world, why how it was such a beautiful temperature, this is why. The below the oceans, it began to open up, the great deeps, and all of the water came up from inside the earth. But secondly, it says the windows of heaven were open. Remember, it said the water was in around the globe. That's why there was no problem with sun or with cancer or any of those things. You never read of sickness in that early portion. For almost 1500 years, you never read of a man dying of sickness, not one. See, God created man without illness. That's why until the Spanish went to South America, the common flu, they never had it. As soon as the Spanish came, it swept through the South Americans. You see, it took all that time for basic illnesses to reach them, and they had their own flood story as well in South America. Here we see the deeps opening. We see the heavens opening. All the water that surrounded the earth that was put there in the second day, it all started to come down. You literally have 40 days and nights of rain, perpetual rain, torrential rain coming down. Can you imagine that? Everywhere. 40 days right round the clock. Ireland's never had that, apart from in the flood. You've got all of this water coming down. You've got the water coming up. You've got volcanoes breaking forth. You've got fire burning in the realms of the ocean. You've got the earth pulling apart into different continents, all below the water. And it actually says that water began to rise and rise and rise until the highest mountains were covered. Lots of those people who talk about a flood trying to explain it away and say it was a localized flood. And to say, there in Mesopotamia, look at it, they have YouTube videos on it. It was a local flood, Mesopotamia flooded, they had to run to some hills, and that's how the flood story started. I never heard of a local flood that covered every mountain in the earth. Is that how all the fossils got on the highest mountains in our entire world? Right across the world, fossils on top of the highest mountains. How did it get there? The entire world was flooded. Can you imagine the volcanoes, the disruptions? For the first time you had great wind storms. Storms broke upon the earth. There'd never been a storm. But when the heat and the cold clashed, with all of the chaos, this planet was reeling. And there was only one family that was preserved in the midst of it. That ark that was planned by God preserved that people. It says in Genesis 7, the waters increased. The waters prevailed. The waters covered the highest mountains that there were. And it says that for 150 days, the waters continued to prevail over every single mountain for 150 days. 5 months they're in the ark. 5 months they're shut into that environment. For 5 months God is destroying the old world and he's pouring out his judgment. Yeah. Do you realize that they stayed in that ark for about 1 year or 372 days. You can count all of this out. That's how long they're in there until God is finished. But it says in chapter 8 and verse 1, God remembered Noah and all the living creatures in the ark. And notice three things he done. In chapter 8 verse 1 it says, God made a great wind to pass over the earth and all the waters began to recede. He also shut up the fountain of the deep. Where all of that was coming out, he stopped it immediately. You see, he's remembering Noah. He's going, now I have poured out my judgment. Now I have Noah. It says he shut up the deeps. He shut up the windows of heaven. He restrained the rain, shut up the depths. He caused a great wind. I believe this could have been a hurricane. It was blowing with great might, pushing the water back off the ground. And the water began to recede off the mountains. It actually says that on the 150th day that the ark came and landed on the mountains of Ararat. You know where that is? Armenia. That is just north of Mesopotamia, or north of Iraq, in those mountains. The ark actually landed there 150 days, 5 months into this, but they still didn't get out until over a year was passed. It wasn't safe. They're actually in there and the waters are receding. And it says that they actually began to see mountains begin to appear. Can you imagine this, saints? God has just saved you from the most horrific catastrophe in all of history. Mount Ararat is one of the highest mountains in that entire region. If you see it, it is a remarkable view. It sits 17,000 feet above sea level. And it actually says in this passage, the waters went 15 cubits over the highest mountain. Every mountain was submerged. Here they are in the ark. They've been saved. What if they hadn't have listened? What if they hadn't have believed? What if they would have doubted the supernatural? What if they would have said, let's wait? What if they would have got drawn away in a relationship? What if they would have sized everything up and said, give it a month and then I'll get in the ark, or I'll wait for the rain to come and then I'll believe you? Either they're going to know this is true or they're going to perish in their sins. There's no other way. Can you imagine them in that boat? These are the only people alive, and every one of us in this room has been birthed as a descendant of that one singular family. Since it's remarkable, all mankind has come out of that one single family that God preserved. Do I believe that? I sure do believe it. I don't believe in evolution. I don't believe in atheism. I don't believe in 1,000 other things. I don't believe in the drugs and the drink and the immorality. Oh, is sin not enjoyable? Oh yes, for a moment. A moment. Go out and enjoy all the sin you want. After all, God says, Don't be lukewarm in the middle. Either go out and live in the world or come in and sell everything and give everything to God. God hates lukewarmness. Don't live halfway. It's either everything or nothing. That's what he says. It actually says here in these verses at the end of chapter 8, it says God remembered them. They came to rest. They sent out the raven. Then they sent out the dove to see if the water receded. The dove came back with an olive branch cut off a tree, and they knew the waters have receded. That's why they used the olive branch for peace all round our world. Where did it begin? In the ark. Our entire world is affected by these things. Evidence is everywhere. It pervades our entire culture, every culture. And yet men are saying there is no God. He didn't create Adam. Well, what happened then? It was a big bang. Order came out of chaos. Design came out of utter confusion. Light came out of darkness, all by accident. Do you realize you're the most remarkable freak accident that you can ever imagine? It's remarkable that this could happen, all by accident. You just accidentally have it all happen. And there's not another planet in the entire universe can sustain man. Not one.
That's right.
Not one. It actually says, when the waters receded, they came out of the ark. God spoke to them. See, they didn't come out of it. Said, I'm not coming out of here until he tells me. I'm not going anywhere. He told me to get in. I ain't going anywhere. Well, could we not just go out? Oh, no. Well, do you not want to go out and have a look around? Absolutely not. Let him tell me. I'll go. Yes, sir. You tell me get on this boat, I'm on this boat. You tell me get off this boat, I'm off this boat. I don't trust myself, saints. I don't trust this natural mind of mine. Oh yes, I've got a mind. I think I test everything. I want you to test everything I say tonight. I do have a thinking mind. I don't switch my head off because of religion. I'm a thinker. I test everything. I judge everything. But saints, I want to tell you, I'm not blending in with all of this confusion. I don't believe the myth of evolution or the Big Bang. They actually have enough faith to believe that, but they don't believe God created it. They actually believe we can evolve out of a chimp. Oh no, out of sludge. Over billions of years and millions of years, out of sludge. What remarkable sludge is that? I love some of it. But yet, in our day, they say, God created man. I don't believe that. Who needs more faith? Who needs? I tell you, it's a whole lot easier to believe. He just created me. He said, let this world be created. I believe that thing. I've got no problem with it. No problem at all. I just believe this. When they got off the ark, the first thing it says in verse 20, Noah builded an altar unto the Lord. Do you know what an altar is? It's a place of prayer. It's a place of sacrifice. It's a place where God meets with you. We build our altar, saints. And you know what they're saying? As they got off that ark, and they're back on the ground, and they're seeing the mountains and the trees and the grass begin to grow. It's a new world, saints. That ark brought them from an old world to a new world. And you know what Christ has done? He takes you out of your old life and he brings you into a new life. Jesus is the ark. And he brings you out of an old world of judgment into a new life in Jesus Christ. It's a miracle. He says, come into me and I will save you and I'll forgive you. And you've got Noah and his family, the first people of our world. And they're there and they build an altar. And they say, we praise your name. And as the fragrance ascended, it was a blood sacrifice. And as the smoke burnt on that sacrifice, it says in verse 21, the Lord smelled a sweet savour. And he says, you know what? This will never happen again. I'll never destroy the earth with a flood. And he says, as long as there's men, seed time and harvest, summer and winter will never. Do you know they didn't have that in the old world? They didn't have summer and winter. They didn't have this distinct four seasons. They didn't have it, and sometimes we don't have it. But do you know what? The Lord says, as long as there's men, there'll always be. Nothing's going to break that. Am I worried about climate change? No. No. Do you know what? There's always going to be an order. No matter what happens. You know why? We've got a destination. Do you realize Christ is coming to judge again? And he says, next time I won't destroy the world with a flood. I'm going to destroy it with fire. Do you realize this world? We read in the New Testament about it. A new heaven and a new earth. A new creation. And he says, only those who are born again are going to live there. And do you know how you get there? We're living in a world surrounded by sinners and mockers and people who say, I don't believe that. And we're building an ark. Do you know how we get from this old world of ours into that new world, that new heaven, that new earth? Christ. Amen. Christ is the ark. And you know what? This old world, he says clearly, will be destroyed by fire. And he'll create a new heaven, new earth. And by earth, I don't mean God's heaven. But the atmospheric heavens, please stand.